VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we thank you for joining us every day here on Crosstalk as we tackle a number of issues. And I understand there is much happening in the news today, much going on in our world. And we'll continue to address these many issues. But keep in mind, we also address spiritual issues on this program. And spiritual challenges come forth from Crosstalk. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We need to be rooted and built up and established in the faith. That's what it says as Paul wrote to the Colossian believers. So with that in mind today, we have a program of biblical challenge primarily to women. And we encourage you to stay tuned for our broadcast here today as we address a topic that, if we've addressed it before, it's been a very, very long time. So the question is, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, you've heard those words before, and readily you'll identify them as coming from Proverbs chapter 31. But what about the description of that woman? Is this just old and antiquated language, something that applied just in ancient times back in the Bronze Age? Or are there practical applications for today's women of the 21st century? Well, joining us today, we welcome James Daughtry, who was born and raised in a religious home. He attended church every Sunday. In his senior year of high school, there was a coworker that began talking to him about the Bible. He started reading the scriptures and attended a Bible study, came to the realization he was a sinner in need of a Savior and trusted Christ as Savior. He went on to Bible college and then ended up in Mexico at a time for being a missionary. Also served in the Caribbean and in Africa. He has also worked in the business world. He's been involved in a missions agency that focuses on unreached people. And he's also an author. We've interviewed him previous on his book, When I Became a Man. But he is also the author of a book that we're discussing today, The Words of King Lemuel, The Virtuous Woman of Proverbs 31. And Jim, nice to have you back with us here today on Crosstalk.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me back on the program.
You, in your book, you mentioned that Proverbs 31 is a well-known passage, but it's not well understood. What is the disconnect?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about this passage. One thing is that often it's thought of as being a passage that's just for women. And I know you mentioned that, and there's a big focus on women, but I don't want your male listeners to turn the radio off here, because this is for them too. The proverb is really for everyone. And sometimes what happens with Proverbs 31, a lot of times the books are written by women and for women, and often men would feel uncomfortable going to a bookstore and actually buying a book that has flowers and is pink and actually carrying this book around and reading it. And that's actually, if your listeners would look at my book cover right above, they'll know this is different, this book. So a lot of the books out there on Proverbs 31 are written by women for women. They're usually fun-type books. They talk about a woman trying to balance her busy schedule and be a virtuous woman. But a lot of times they don't really get deep into the proverb. And I really spent many, many years researching this proverb and really trying to understand what the proverb is saying.
You know, and it's very interesting, and it's a good point you just raised there, Jim, because we often associate Proverbs 31 as just being for women, but the first character we have in Proverbs 31 is a man by the name of King Lemuel. Who was he?
Right. Well, that's a question that has been debated, and actually many of the books that I've looked at on Proverbs 31, they often say King Solomon was the author of this proverb. Often the books skip verses 1 through 9, and they focus, they start at verse 10, which is the section that people are most familiar with. Well, we don't really know who King Lemuel was. Some people believe this. He was King Solomon. Some people believe that he was a foreign king. I don't spend a lot of time in the book talking about who King Lemuel was, because we don't really know. And sometimes when we talk about not knowing who the author of a book of the Bible was, it kind of creates doubts for people. And we know whoever wrote this proverb, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the words they wrote are the words of God. So we could be confident as we study this proverb that this is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And the Word of God, as he wrote them through King Lemuel. One might wonder, though, who taught the king? Who taught the king these things? And that's kind of responded to in this book.
Right. Actually, in the first nine verses, it's the mother of King Lemuel that is actually teaching him. I believe that the conversation that she has with him in the first nine verses are a specific conversation that he remembers. But I really believe that she, just like any mother, started teaching him at a very young age of many of the themes that are covered in this proverb.
Is there anything that we really know about his mother from this proverb?
Well, you know, that's also a mystery. If we knew who his mother was, we might know who mm-hmm. he is, but we're really not sure. There's a lot of different theories on that, but nothing really definite.
You know, and that's what's really interesting about this, Jim, because what's important, I know that there are no doubt many women listening right now who wonder, I so often feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. Am I really impacting my children? And the truths that I pass on to them, is it really making a difference? Wow, here is a mother that greatly impacted her son, King Lemuel.
Yes, you know, I really think that's one of the key points of this proverb, and it's often overlooked because often the first nine verses are skipped. The first nine verses are really important.
Mm-hmm.
They're really foundational. They give us a background for the proverb. The words of King Lemuel's mother contain a lot of wisdom. And as you mentioned, they're a real testimony that the words of a mother to her son were not forgotten.
No, and that's what's important about this passage of Proverbs 31. I mean, you ask anybody in most churches, and right away when you say Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman passage, but before we learn about that woman that is described, she actually had some instruction for her son King Lemuel. What do we know about that instruction?
Well, there's a number of different possibilities that it could have been. I believe that this is a talk that she probably had with him, a specific talk that she felt she needed to call him aside. Maybe he was a teenager, maybe he was a young man, entering manhood. I think he could have been possibly about to take the throne, because a lot of the things that she talks to him about is about being a king.
Mm-hmm.
One word that is really important is it says that she taught him, and that word in Hebrew has the meaning of instruction, but more often than not, it's used for correction. So she was teaching him, but maybe because he was kind of going astray, going the wrong way, and she felt like she had to pull him aside and correct him. And I think we could all remember back times when our mother or father have done that to us.
So what were some of those instructions that she gave him, pulling him aside? What were some of those instructions?
Sure. Well, she says a number of things to him. One of the things that I think is interesting that in verse 2, she actually mentions the word son three times. So I think she's really trying to get his attention here. She lets him know that he's her biological son, that she carried him in the womb. She also says that he's a son of her vows. So she takes the opportunity to bring in God and say that, you know, God worked in my life and he has a purpose for your life. And she gives them warnings in mm-hmm. Proverbs 31, verses 3 through 5. She warns him about women. She warns him about alcohol. Back in that time period, kings had royal feasts. There was a lot of drinking. Alcohol, as you know, many men used to try to calm their nerves. So she was probably concerned that he might be tempted by alcohol. So she mentions a number of things in there that are very important. She mentions some other things, too, mm-hmm. about, helping the poor and needy, which is a theme that he later mentions in the proverb.
Our guest here today in Crosstalk is James Daughtry, and author of the book, The Words of King Lemuel, The Virtuous Woman of Proverbs 31. A little bit later, we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy or copies of this book. But there is much that's in the background, and I wanted to bring that out because we're going to get into those the verses now that deal with the virtuous woman. But so often we neglect the setting for this to take place and the words of King Lemuel and the impact that his mother had upon him. But, Jim, let's go ahead and move on to that famous verse, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? What does that word virtuous mean?
Well, that word in Hebrew is actually ha'il, and it's a rather difficult word to understand. More often it's used for men. So when the word ha'il is used for women, you kind of have to think and try to understand how a woman would manifest ha'il. The word in general means a force. And this woman truly was a force in her family and community. It has the idea of physical strength, and she was a physically strong woman, but it also has the idea of inner strength, which she had. Mm. It also has the idea of financial strength. Often the word is used to refer to an army or a valiant warrior, and I think maybe King Lemuel here was saying that she was a warrior. Not in the military sense, but in her love and passion for life and for others.
Is this passage talking about a real woman or a fictional woman?
Well, Jim, I take this passage literally. When I was at Bible college, they always taught us, take the passage literally unless we, for some reason, find out that we have to take a different interpretation, that it's symbolic. I would hold a little different position than most people on this. A lot of people believe that this woman is fictional, that this is just a standard of a perfect woman. They say it's impossible to be like this woman. But I think as you study through this proverb and really understand and go back and understand the ancient Middle Eastern culture, this is all attainable. This is, as a matter of fact, my wife was my proofreader in the book, and she said when I used to hear a sermon or something on Proverbs 31, I would always kind of cringe and think that I didn't meet up to the standard. But she says, your book gives me hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what this proverb is about. This proverb really is praising women.
Yeah. And so this is a book of encouragement, really, in that regard. But you're saying you really believe that this is talking about a real woman, then, not just somebody that's pie in the sky.
Yeah, I believe for a number of reasons he's talking about a real woman. I take this literally. The detailed account of this woman, I don't believe it's something he just pulled out of the air. Why would he be talking so specifically about this woman? So I believe he probably knew a lot of virtuous women, and he has one in mind as he's writing these verses.
Okay, well, we're going to delve into more of those verses after the break. James Daughtry is with us here today, author of the book, The Words of King Lemuel, The Virtuous Woman of Proverbs 31. More interesting the discussion after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how did Darwin come up with the idea of evolution?
Chris Charles Darwin was actually preparing to be a pastor. His real interest, however, was in the study of nature. Sometimes school kids are taught that Darwin was a believer in creation until he went to the Galapagos and saw that the facts of nature pointed otherwise. This is not true. Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, was a renowned scientist and poet back in the 1700s. He was also a vicious anti-Christian. In 1770, he began to promote evolutionary ideas. When Charles Darwin wrote his book Origin of Species, he repeated the main examples of evolution used by his grandfather. He rejected scripture in favor of his grandfather's evolutionary ideas, and thereby affected the whole Western world. How much better if he had gone back to Genesis and seen the truth that's recorded there.
Thanks, Dr. John.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we cover spiritual issues on this program as well. And our focus today on Proverbs 31, we think right away toward women. But as our guest said today, hey, we start out with the king, King Lemuel, and it's his words and the instruction that he received from his mother as he lays out this scenario here, the virtuous woman, believing it's talking about a real woman, not just some fictional character that we have to aspire to. Jim, Proverbs 31:11 says this, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." What does that mean, that he'd have no need of spoil?
Well, Jim, theologians really kind of debate what exactly that word spoil means in this particular verse. Normally, that word spoil refers to dishonest gain. Some theologians think that in this case it might just mean wealth attained by ethical means. Really, whatever the case, whether it's dishonest wealth or ethical wealth, either way, the husband didn't need to seek additional income, additional wealth to please his wife and to maintain his household. He truly had a great treasure in his wife. I think she had a positive impact on the household finances, and also later in the proverb, she helps contribute to the income of the household.
Very interesting. We'll be getting toward that as well. Verse 13 refers to a woman who seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. And some women might conclude, hey, wait a second, I don't sew. Does that mean I fall short of this?
Well, this verse has a lot of different things in it. I really think it shows, you know, how the woman went about. It says that she seeketh wool and flax.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought when I first read the proverb that maybe she, you know, lived on a farm or something. But as you study the proverb, it seems like they probably lived in the city. Her husband was known at the city gates. She was a very talented seamstress. So it says that she seeketh. So she's actually, in Hebrew, this word means to be searching, inquiring. She's looking for the material that she needs. She may have gone to the city market or visited farms, but she was diligent in what she was looking for. She didn't buy on impulse. She knew what she needed for this project, and she was able to make a wise decision. And I think those principles can be applied to whatever we're doing. It doesn't have to be looking for wool and flax, but and many different things that we do.
Mm-hmm. You also have a chapter in the book called The Selfless Woman, and you focus on Proverbs 13:15. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. What does this mean when it says she rises up also at night? Does this mean that she's the one who gets up with the baby?
Well, that could be. According to Jewish tradition, night was until sunrise. So since it was still night, she probably got up just before dawn. Some people think that this means that a woman has to rise before dawn to be virtuous. But we really need to consider the ancient Middle Eastern culture. This was 3,000 years ago. They didn't have electric lights back then. Now we have businesses that are open 24 hours. People work the second or third shift. We can stay up late and do things that were difficult or impossible back in that time period. So really the emphasis of this verse shouldn't be when she rises. When she got up, she didn't spend the time on herself. She spent her time serving others. And regardless of what time a woman gets up, some women might get up late for a good reason. But what do they do when they get up? How do they spend their time? She spends her time serving others.
Yeah, indeed. Now, we're going to talk more about the book here in just a moment, but one of the things I noticed here in the book, Jim, is you actually have questions scattered throughout the book here as you cover the various verses and give comments on them. You have questions that are there. This really causes the reader to not just read through this quickly, but to really stop and think on it, to consider the you know, this biblical principle here.
Yes, I wrote it as a Bible study, and I know you're having a special offer for the listeners, and I hope that they buy a bunch of copies and have a Bible study. Not just women, men too. I've taught this in mixed groups of men and women, and it's really a proverb that hits home with a lot of people. There's always a lot of comments and questions, and it's really a beautiful proverb, and we really don't spend a lot of time studying it. A lot of the books out there kind of take a superficial look at it, and sometimes they do a lot of cross-referencing and go to New Testament passages. I really try to stay focused on this proverb,
right,
dig into it, and understand what it's saying.
And you bring in the historical perspective to it as well.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time studying the history and the Hebrew language.
Well, friends, this book, The Words of King Lemuel, The Virtuous Women of Proverbs 31. It's ideal for personal study. If you'd like a copy for yourself, it's ideal for a mom to sit down with her daughter to go through the study. It's appropriate, as our guest said, for a Bible study or Sunday school class, and that would even include, let me say, like a teen girl Sunday school class in particular. It could be used as an older woman mentoring a young woman as well. And courtesy of our guest today, and as a means to support our program, we're making one copy available for a donation of $11. But here's where we'd like to encourage you to consider, so that you would engage in group study or to get this book out to others. One copy available for donation of $11, five copies of the book available for a donation of $40, or 10 copies available for donation of $69, and that includes shipping to you as well. So one copy available, donation of $11, five copies, a donation of $40, or 10 copies for a donation of $69. It's available right now at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. If you just mention, hey, I'm calling about that book on Proverbs 31, they'll know what it's all about. The Words of King Lemuel is the exact title of it, but call 800-729-9829. But let's get back into the book here just a bit. Verse 16 refers to the virtuous woman as considering a field and buying it. And I can hear some men saying right now, Jim, I don't want my wife to go out and buy some real estate when I'm gone to work. Is that what this is referring to?
Well, Jim, this is a great verse, and I explain quite a bit about it in chapter 8 of the book. This was a special project that the virtuous woman embarked on, and it was really a long-term project with a lot of phases involved. It might seem like a simple verse, but you know, she had to consider a lot of different things. And that word consider in Hebrew, it has the idea of imagining or thinking. So she probably started off dreaming about having her own vineyard. But the word also has the idea of plotting and devising. So she didn't rush into this decision. It wasn't an emotional decision. It's something that she actually had to plan out. And after taking all the steps that were necessary for her to actually purchase this field and plant this vineyard, she was able to accomplish her dream. But it all started with her considering. And, you know, I just wanted to give a quick example. When I was in Bible college, our senior year, we had a speaker come in to talk to us, and he was really great. He says, when I graduated Bible colleges, they taught me a lot of, you know, information, but I didn't know how to apply it. I didn't know how to really dream, and he challenged us to dream. And that's what this virtuous woman did. She considered, and she was able to fulfill her dreams.
Hmm. Oh, there's also an interesting phrase in that verse 16 that talks about the fruit of her hands. What does that mean?
Right. I really believe that that's a poetic way. It's a very beautiful way to say that this is really a project that she took on her own. And through her resources, she was able to purchase this land and buy and plant this vineyard.
Now, in the New Testament, we find one of the characteristics of a woman is a gentle and quiet spirit. But in chapter 9 of your book, you refer to the virtuous woman as being a strong woman. Could you explain this, what is meant by a strong woman?
Sure. I don't think it's talking about her character here. I think it's talking really physically about her. The words that King Lemuel uses here are figurative language that the readers of that time period would have easily understood. But for modern-day readers, it's really kind of hard to understand. But I explain a little bit more in the chapter what the words mean, but basically women in that time period did a lot of physically demanding tasks. And so she was strong. She had a strong arms and a strong lower body. And I believe that the virtuous woman enjoyed doing her chores, even though they were physically demanding. From these words, it seems like she had a positive attitude, and she probably had a sense of pride in being able to accomplish her tasks. She might have enjoyed the challenge of hard work and the results it had on her body, but I really think her main motivation in wanting to be strong was that she was able to serve the people that she loved.
Hmm. Wow. The Words of King Lemuel, the title of the book here. Jim, earlier we had talked about this virtuous woman rising up while is yet night. We kind of talked about here, but verse 18 also says her candle goeth not out by night. Does this mean that this woman's got to be awake just most of the night, all the time?
Jim, yeah, great question, because I get that a lot. I hear people say a lot that, you know, this woman never sleeps. She's working all night. And one thing that's really important in Bible study is we want to take out of the Bible what God is saying and not put our ideas into the Bible. If we look at the verse, nowhere in there does it say that she's working all night. Nowhere in there does it say that she doesn't sleep at night. I spend some time in this chapter explaining what this phrase means, and you really need to look at the time period back then and the significance of a candle. And it had a lot of different significances from a practical standpoint, a social standpoint, a religious perspective. And I explain a little bit more about the significance of the candle in the home.
Interesting. Well, folks, you can read more about it in this book here, The Words of King Lemuel. We'll again be sharing you how you can get a copy of it. But there's another interesting aspect here. As you know, we don't talk in some of these words here today. Verse 21 talks about her family being clothed in scarlet. What is that referring to?
Yeah, that is actually a verse, a word there that is debated by theologians exactly what type of clothing this was. Whatever type of clothing it was, we're not exactly sure. It was clothing that was good for the winter months and for snow. And the virtuous woman, we're not sure, it doesn't say the verse, whether she provided the clothes, but most likely she did. She may have purchased the clothes, but I feel like she probably made the clothes. She was a very talented seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
She was confident that her household was prepared for the winter because she had their clothes ahead of time.
Tell you what, we're going to leave it right there. We'll come back to talk further on this being clothed in scarlet. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, I'm sure you're going to discover things that you never learned about before in going through Proverbs chapter 31, but certainly men and women can now discover this treasure of wisdom and knowledge, the words of King Lemuel. Proverbs 31 is well-known, not well-understood, but its author does unlock the secrets of this proverb. He's done research into the Middle East in Hebrew language and covers the lost and hidden meanings as well, and going through verse by verse in explaining them. So we are making this available. It's a very easy-to-read book. It includes questions and gives you blanks to fill in answers. It can serve as a group study guide. It can serve as a personal devotional book as well. And we'd like to encourage you to obtain a copy or copies. Think of putting them away for some, either for engaging now or for a future Sunday school quarter or upcoming study that you're going to be having with a Bible study type class or mentoring somebody else, ideal for it. One copy available for a donation of $11, five copies available for a donation of $40, 10 copies available for a donation of $69, that includes postage, available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. Jim, as we were talking prior to that break coming on, we were talking about clothing in scarlet, and I believe we got the main meat of that. You were talking about how that woman is going to be sure that her husband is and family, that they are cared for. They're going to have warm clothes when they go out in adverse weather.
Right, yeah, and just a final thought on that is that she's a real example of this being prepared ahead of time. She wasn't rushing around at the last minute trying to find the material to make the clothes or try to purchase the clothes. So it gives a great example there.
You have a chapter on being a supportive wife, and you indicate, as Scripture said, that her husband is known in the gates. Now, that's not common terminology we use today. Could you explain that for us?
Sure. I explain that a little bit more in the chapter 15 of the book there. The gates were an important part in the city, and that's where the elders met. Her husband was an elder of the land, and we're not really sure whether she had a part in her husband's success, but it seems like she did, because King Lemuel includes this verse about her husband in a proverb that is about her. Her husband obviously was known for having a wife that was able to manage her household, and she was known in the community as being responsible. So I think that definitely helped help her husband in that position, and that's probably why he got the position as being an elder at the city gates.
We're talking about character issues here as well, and verse 25, King Lemuel speaks of the clothing of a virtuous woman. What does the king have to say about the clothing of a virtuous woman?
Yeah, he uses two key words here, strength and honor, and he uses the word strength to describe he used this word before to describe her physical condition, but he's using it here, I think, in a different way. The Hebrew word could mean many different types of strength. So he might be talking about her mental, emotional, or her spiritual strength. The virtuous woman was truly a woman of inner strength as well as a physical strength. And she was a woman of honor. She had a good reputation and a good name. She had accomplished many things in life and had attained a place of status in society.
There are many women who will take a long time focusing on their beauty from the outside, but you refer to inner beauty as you write on verse 30 in the book. Could you comment on that inner beauty?
Sure. I think really the emphasis of that verse is that we need to look at the inner beauty. Throughout the book of Proverbs, it tells us that we need to have wisdom. And often, men as well as women look at the physical beauty. Women often, my wife said, I think sometimes I spend more time getting prepared for work than I do in the Word of God.
Mm.
And so I think that goes all the way around. We're concerned about our physical appearance, but what's really important is the spiritual. And he says that a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
When all is said and done, Jim, what is your hope that this book will accomplish? The words of King Lemuel, the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. What is your heart's desire for this book?
Well, one of the desires I have is that men and women read the book, study the book, and really understand the proverb, because I think there's so many hidden truths in there that really haven't been brought out. As I studied this book for many, many years, and I looked into the ancient Middle Eastern cultures, I looked into the Hebrew language, God just opened my eyes and just showed me so many things. And that's why I wrote the book, so that I could share those with people.
Well, friends, it's available through Crosstalk. I'll give you the info in a moment. But if you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest here today, or a brief comment, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Perhaps there's something in this proverb that's puzzled you, or looking for some insight in that regard. Our phone number, 800-733-9829. Maybe it's a lesson you've learned from this chapter as well. Give us a call, 800-733-9829. Also, just a reminder, we do have the book available through Crosstalk here, our way of saying thank you for your support of $11 or more for a single copy of the book, 5 copies for a donation of $40, 10 copies for a donation of $69, and that's available through vcyamerica.org. You can go to the website and order it there, or by calling our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. I see also in the New Testament where we have Titus, I believe, talking about the older women teaching the younger women. What a great study tool to help them with this, because I've sometimes heard women, I don't know what to teach. I don't know what to pass on. What an ideal book for them to go through as a study together.
Yes, exactly, Jim. And that's a great verse that you shared, that the older women teaching the younger women, that's a great principle.
Is it happening today?
You know, in some churches it isn't, in some cases, but I think, like you mentioned, sometimes there seems to be kind of a generation gap. The younger generation is much, much different, and sometimes women don't know really how to start. And this proverb is really timeless. It's truths from the Word of God, and the book is very user-friendly, and there's a lot of beautiful pictures in there, too, that I spent a lot of time looking for pictures and images that were appropriate for the time period and also give you an idea what the chapter is about.
Yes, and indeed, and one a nice feature as well, folks, that the chapters are short. It makes it very easy for a daily study to pick up one chapter at a time, which usually covers a single verse, sometimes a couple of verses there, but it makes it very handy to study. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Wayne, who's calling from Menominee Falls, Wisconsin.
Yes, I was looking at Unger's Bible Dictionary. The word scarlet doesn't imply, as far as I could tell, anything about warmth necessarily, but it does say it was the color of the priest's vestments and that the color came from a worm whose bag was the size of a berry, the crocus worm. And there's two. There's the oriental and then the new Mexican kind.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it didn't mention anything about warmth.
Okay, let's comment on that verse. That's from verse chapter or verse 21 of Proverbs 31. Further thoughts on that, Jim?
Yeah, Wayne, thank you very much for your call, and I appreciate you actually doing some research and digging into some resources there. That's what I spent many, many years doing. As you mentioned, it is kind of a controversial word. Theologians go back and forth as far as what exactly this word meant and how it should be translated. I believe that the clothing was for the winter. The verse seems to indicate that.
Yeah, let me just read it for context, because it talks about her not being afraid of the snow, for her husband and for all her household are clothed with scarlet.
Right. So obviously there was something with this clothes that was for the winter. We're not completely sure, but they did have clothes for the winter and for the snow.
Because you would think that wool would be more the, it would have to have some kind of backing to it to be warm.
Yep, and that's referred to earlier in the passage, too. Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate you bringing that out. We referred to the seeking wool as well here earlier, Jim.
Yeah, she used a wool and flax. Flax was used for making linen, and that was great for the warm weather. It was lightweight, and the wool was good for warm clothing.
Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We have Robin calling from Monticello, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Thank you. I want to thank you so much for the information about in the Bible of Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book. And anyway, it was talk about strong women in history. And in the country of Greece in the old days, there was a city that was called Sparta. I think it was from the south. And the women trained their baby boys to be strong warriors. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Spartans. But any comments there, Jim?
Right. I did actually see a documentary about that and the training of their children for war and things like that. You know, the virtuous woman definitely was a strong woman. It came from, you know, her domestic work that she did in caring for her family and loved ones. It wasn't specifically related to war. I mentioned earlier that King Lemuel may have considered her a warrior, but I think in her love and passion for others.
Thank you for the call. Again, our number to Crosstalk, I have a couple open lines here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We have an anonymous caller. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I read Proverbs every month with 31 days. And when I get to chapter 31, that is a portrait of my mother. She fit that in so many ways. She taught me many things, but I can never achieve what she did. She made knit all the wool socks for my dad. When I left home, she immediately knit a afghan for me. When we had too much produce, she'd give to others or take to a farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
She was fantastic.
Well, how did that impact you?
Well, it taught me many things. I learned from her, and I love to read that chapter because I can just see her doing all those things.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for your call today. Appreciate it. And those things are impactful here, Jim.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate the caller and what they said because as I've taught through Proverbs 31, I've had a lot of men and women say, you know, this reminds me of my mother. So, you know, thank God for that. Actually, there was a seminary president that reviewed my book Proverbs 31, and he said it reminded him of his mother.
Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back for our final segment as well. Jim Daughtry is our guest here today on the program, author of The Words of King Lemuel. We've got some available phone lines. If there's a comment you have on this topic or perhaps a question, maybe something that's puzzled you about Proverbs 31, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. I'm giving you this commentary today from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Cyber Symposium that is being held to see about what went on with our 2020 election. Elections are one of the most important things that we do in America. Many people died to maintain our freedoms to vote and to have a representative form of government, a constitutional republic. That means we give our authority to an elected official to represent us. They hold our authority as the people in trust to do the will of the people as bound by the United States Constitution and particularly our constitutional republic that our framers said was based on the law of the divine. If we get away from free and fair elections, you have no free society. Where you have freedom of religion, you have freedom of economics, and you have freedom of speech. Take any of those away, and you live in a totalitarian state. Freedom of our election is at the core of a constitutional republic.
It's a tremendous book that will give you some insights into Proverbs 31 that perhaps you never considered before. Or you may have thought of just the virtuous woman, but what about this King Lemuel, who is certainly the one who we find first introduced into this book and who received instruction from his mother? Again, this book, The Words of King Lemuel, The Virtuous Woman of Proverbs 31, is available through Crosstalk, and we're thankful to our guest for courtesy of our guest as a means to support our program as well. We're making available one copy available for donation of $11, five copies for a donation of $40, 10 copies available for a donation of $69, or multiples after that. Certainly can get 10, 20, 30 copies. Great for a personal study or group studies, Bible studies, the mentoring, tutoring one another. What a great book in that regard. It's available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. Let's go to Port Charlotte, Florida. We have Olive who is calling in. Hi, Olive. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just listening, and Proverbs 31.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us a story about today's woman. Some women can't even cook a meal. A man would marry a woman, and she can't even prepare a meal. She don't know how to take care of a home. Number one, she don't know how to spend money. My grandmother would say, cut and carve. How to take little and make much, how to prepare a good meal with little and nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They would rather go to the restaurant and buy food, and they can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is sew hair in their head and put on nails on their finger and do all those things. They are good at those things, but they are not good at even taking care of a home, and that's why most marriage don't last, mm-hmm. because the men would go out and work and bring home the money, and all they do is buy clothes and run around, and they don't know how to put money together and work out something. And if there was a difficult rise in the home, like bills to pay and the poor husband not working, they don't even have a little saving.
Well,
they can get up and say, well, here is $500. I put this away out of the food money, mm-hmm. and, know how to get things right. These women nowadays, they don't know nothing about that.
Thank you, Olive, for raising that issue. And Proverbs 31 is a great chapter to address those very issues here, Jim.
Yeah, I appreciate Olive's call. And there's definitely a need for women to learn about what it is to be a woman of God, just as it is for men to learn what it is to be a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a lot of important things in this proverb. It's really a timeless proverb. This was written around 3,000 years ago. It's still relevant today if we could really get into it and understand what it's teaching.
We've got calling from Birmingham, England. Robert, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. And just two very quick observations. And one is that in Proverbs 31, you have a picture of a woman who is a great achiever, a great career woman outside the home, and then within the home, she honors her husband so that he is honored at the gate of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one characteristic. And the more a woman is an achiever outside of the home, and the more she honors her husband, the greater the home and the greater the marriage.
Great. Thank you,
Mark. And mm-hmm. the other point, very quickly, it just happens over the past couple of Sundays, I've been introducing people to Proverbs chapter 30, the prophecy of Agur.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, in verse 14, in the middle of the chapter, you have a picture of people who devour the poor and needy.
Mm.
There are these four generations described. And Proverbs 31, verse 9 tells us that the king ought to protect and preserve the poor and needy, and the two link up very nicely when you read through the whole book of Proverbs. The whole thing links up, and the word of God is wonderful in that way.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Robert. Appreciate it. Some good thoughts here, Jim.
Yeah, One comment as far as, Robert, I appreciate your thoughts on that. It looks like you've done some research. One comment as far as her being an achiever outside the home, I really believe she had the best of both worlds. I believe that this business was actually in her home, so she was able to work on things, this business, the products that she had in the home, and she was also able to take care of the children and prepare meals and do many things like that. And the poor and needy is a key theme that the mother of King Lemuel mentions in verses 1 through 9, and then later King Lemuel mentions it in the proverb.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Pam in Missouri. You're on the air, Pam.
I was just talking about the woman.
Pam, you've got a bad connection there.
You didn't have modern equipment back then, so everything was done by hand. She had physical strength as well as inner strength to protect her family in case her husband was not there. She had the inner strength and the strength of the Lord to help her do everything she needed to do because everything's depending on him. But she had physical strength because she had a lot of physical strength.
Yep. Thank you, Pam. I think we got your main point. We have a lot of cutouts there on the phone. And let's just squeeze also Todd in from Georgia. Todd, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. First, just like to say, I enjoy all of your programs. And then I was blessed to have grandmother's mother and now a wife who follows the Proverbs 31.
Hmm.
My question is there a counter chapter book verse that
okay, we lost your connection here, Todd, but I see the question here, is there equivalent passage for men? Jim?
Well, actually, as you mentioned, Jim, early, I actually wrote a book that's entitled When I Became a Man, and I look at many different passages for men on being the men that God intended them to be, that intended us to be. So I wouldn't pick out one passage, but there's a lot of passages, and I would recommend the book When I Became a Man.
And indeed, we also have that book available through Crosstalk, When I Became a Man. Same quantity, discounts, etc. with that one. You'll find it at vcyamerica.org. Click on the Crosstalk store for more information on that. James Daughtry, our guest here today. Jim, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on the program.
And friends, again, to obtain these books, you can go to vcyamerica.org or call 800-729-9829. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.